Hello, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in to another episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I'm your host, Daniel Gregory. I hope you're having a great week. I hope you've gotten a chance to get out there and pick up the camera, make some amazing photographs, or get to spend time working on your creative practice. I know for me, after the holidays, I've finally kind of gotten back into a groove, which is lucky because next week for me, I've got an incredibly busy week. I've got a class I'm teaching at Creative Live on alternative processing, which is going to be great and a lot of fun, but it's two pretty intense days. I'm also teaching the start of the quarter for two classes, and then I have an in-person workshop, which I'm so excited about. It's a printing workshop, one of my absolute favorite things to teach. I've got some amazing things set up for that workshop, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. That all being said, Lori and I have also had a busy week because we're starting to talk about the planning of our creativity workshops that her and I are going to be doing together. We're working on getting her latest book out. So there's a lot going on. What I realized was that as we start to work on our creative practice and we start to work on our creative life, we get really busy. A lot of things happen and we can find ourselves maybe not having the time we had to do the things we thought we might want to do just because other things come up. So for me, looking at how busy my past couple of weeks have been between the holidays and getting ready for my classes and the workshops, I've realized that I've kind of had to sell myself on getting the work done. I've had to find a way to get up and get motivated every day to work on the things that I had to get done in order to meet my obligations that I have and the things that I really want to do. But yet at the same time, there's been some fun things that have come up. My new camera's come in. I've gotten the studio cleaned up. I'm working on a brand new printing process. So there's a lot of really kind of cool things going on. And what I realized was that in some ways, what I needed was my own sales pitch. And that got me thinking, if we were our own salesperson and you worked at a camera store or you worked in some kind of teaching for photography, or you worked in some sort of creative practice, and you had to create your own marketing materials and your own commercials and your own ways of talking about your work, what would you tell yourself? What would be the thing that drove the way you created? What would be the thing that drove your photography? Because if you think about going into a camera store and you're browsing a camera store, what are the things that draw your eye in? What is it about the new gear? Are you drawn to bags? Are you drawn to cameras? Or are you drawn to gadgets and gizmos? And then what do you tell yourself on why you need things or why you don't need things? What about it talking to other photographers at the store? How do you talk about your own work? How do you present what you do? Are you much more introverted? Are you much more shy? Are you more outgoing? Do you say things about the type of work you create in a much more positive and energetic way? Or do you have an uncertainty about it? The way you present and sell yourself about your creative practice and about your photography is completely dependent on the way you describe yourself. One of the things they talk about when you first start doing something is they say, oh, if you start telling people you're a photographer, eventually you'll get the mindset to be a photographer. And while I think that's a little simplistic because it requires a little bit more than just telling people you're a photographer, kind of requires taking some photographs. But the idea I think is sound is that we have to somehow project out what we feel we need to have to really be creative and to really step forward and hold the space of creativity we need for our lives. Because what happens sometimes is that we do get busy and we find ourselves distracted in some ways. We find ourselves broken in some ways because we have so much of life going on that we really want to be able to accomplish the things that we set out for. We set those goals, we set those ideas, we set those principles up to accomplish things so that we could do them. We could be successful in our creative practice. But things get in the way. So we have to somehow tell ourselves that that's okay and then continue to move forward. And it's that discussion within ourselves that I think is so interesting. Because one of the things I realized in my own practice, in my own sense of being around this, was that what I needed was to find the time to be incredibly busy in an incredibly compact time period. But then I needed to build the space and the freedom to decompress, to allow other things to emerge, to spend time reading, to spend time with a new guitar that I got for Christmas. Whatever that is, I needed that additional time. So what I have to sell myself on is that what I need to do is be really intense and really, really smart about how I spend my time and use as much of my energy as possible in the shortest amount of time so that I can accomplish what I need to accomplish, whether that's writing, whether that's printing, whether that's working in the dark room. What I need is smart and intense burst of energy. If I just come in and lollygag and spend all the time and have all the freedom, I don't necessarily get things done. So for my sales pitch to myself, what I have to sell myself, what I need to be able to do is tell myself what you've got is 3 hours and you need to accomplish these four things in those 3 hours, because that's the way I'm able to get the most creative energy out of myself. And if I think back to how I actually work, particularly in the type of photography that I love the most, one of which is landscape and outdoor photography, the artificial constraint that's created there by the quality of light in those golden hours when I really want to capture the light, and if I want that beautiful golden light, I'm only given a small window of time to work. So that compression, I think, is sort of ingrained into my general practice. It's the way I've sort of experienced photographing the things that interest me. I only get 45 minutes of really great light. So if I want to make the photographs, I have to get in the right place. I have to get set up. I have to be prepared. I have to have thought about all the different aspects of my shot and the framing and the composition ahead of time so that I can be really engaged for those 45 minutes. When I'm doing portrait work, when I'm taking headshots of people, or when I'm doing just messing around with friends in the studio, it's not like we've got an unlimited budget and an unlimited time to hold the studio. We have a certain amount of time to work. We have a certain amount of time to accomplish something, because then we need to get back and look at the images and process them and print them and edit them and do all the other things. So even that shooting is a compressed time. It's not like I have 17 months of shooting to get this one shot. So my way of working for me has been about that compression. So as I describe myself as a type of photographer, and not to other people, I don't worry about necessarily describing that to other people or to clients and how I work, but for my own sensibility, when I get up in the morning and I tell myself, today's the day I'm going to go out and do something. I'm going to accomplish something. I'm going to do something amazing with my camera. I'm going to do something amazing with my photography. I don't sell myself as, oh, let's just let it emerge as the day goes along. I have to set that almost compulsion up to get that sense of accomplishment in that small window. The other thing that's allowed me to do as I think about my process and how I describe it in my own head is I can work for 3 intense hours. I can then change gears and work on something else for an intense 2 or 3 hours, change gears again and come back and work for an intense 2 or 3 hours, and then maybe even return to that original thing I was working on after those series of breaks. Because the other thing is I need some level of stimulation on multiple different subject matters throughout the day for me to really feel like I can stay creative for a longer period of time. What I've done with that information, now that I've really sat down and thought about how is it that I work, how is it that I experience my creativity, and recognizing that, what I've been working on now is a couple of sentences that describe how I approach my creative practice and how I approach my creativity. And like I said, it's not because I want it for other people. What I want it for is I want it as a post-it note on my monitor. I want it as a post-it note in my camera bag. I want it on a post-it note inside my darkroom, that it reminds me of, if I'm going to sell myself on doing something amazing in the creative world, doing something with passion and with such high regard for the quality of the creativity that exists within the world, this is the way I need to do it. Because I don't want to forget and get disengaged or disheartened by the experience. I want to stay really committed to the experience of finding the amazement in my own creative practice. So for me, I like to think of my sales pitch when I go to that camera store. If I walked in and they said, "What are you looking for?" I'd say, "I'm looking for high energy, super intense, passionate work that changes 2 to 3 times a day. And for me, that's what I'm looking for. So as I start to think about how that gets applied, then if I can get up in the morning and go out and take photographs when the sun's coming up and I capture that quality of light, I come back to the dark room, I'm able to upload the images, I'm able to clean my camera equipment, I'm able to then process my morning email, then I'm able to edit my photographs and print my photographs, and then I can go out in the evening if I choose and re-photograph the sunset and that quality time of light towards the end of the day, and then come back and spend time reading and spend time working on the guitar and spend time with my family or whatever that is, those small chunks of very intense, very hard-hitting moments of the day, I think create a passion in me that's really interesting. Now for you, that could be completely different. It may be that you're a person who gets up and you need to ease into that morning. You need to have a cup of coffee, you need to do yoga, you need to get your mind in a space where it's clear so that you can take in the environment around you. You need to recognize that, though, because if the goal and if the desire is always to be in the creative frame and the creative place and the creative position to do something amazing, whether it's with the camera or with a pen or however you're experiencing your creativity for the day, knowing how you get in that space is important. And then telling yourself over and over again how you get in that space is important, because at the end of the day, creativity is muscle memory. Lori and I talk about this all the time. Everybody's amazed at how much Lori can write. Lori gets up and writes every day. And she writes a lot. And a lot of it goes in the trash can and she throws it away. And the next day she gets up and she writes a lot more. And then if you look back over the course of a year, if you wrote 3 or 4 pages a day, every day for a year, you'd have 1,000 pages of work. Now that she's probably written 3,000 or 4,000 to get to that point, or 5,000 or 10,000, who knows? But every day she gets up and takes that approach. And for her, her practice is completely different than mine. It doesn't have that same blocked off intensity. For her, she likes to get up and get her situation in life set up so that she can experience creativity as it comes to her. Maybe that's through talking to the trees or the way the birds approach the window or whatever it is for her to get calm so that she can have room for the creativity to come into her. So it's a completely different approach, but she knows her approach and she knows how to cultivate that so that she's continually able to make amazing things happen in her creative life. So for this week, I would encourage you to really spend some time to think about, what is that sales pitch you give yourself that gets you to do something? What are you drawn to? Like I said, if it's whatever the analogy is for gear or trinkets or big expensive equipment or time, whatever it is, figure that out for yourself and try to figure out if there's a way you could start to incorporate that language into how you talk to yourself every day that you approach your photography or your creative practice, because I think you'd be really surprised at what you could accomplish if you can really get down to what really matters, what ideas really are there, and recognize that the language you use to describe your creative practice and how you behave in that creative practice will ultimately dictate your success in that space. I hope you have an amazing week behind the camera. I hope you get to spend some time with loved ones, and don't forget to tell your loved ones that you love them and that you have got an opportunity to do amazing things with your camera. You can change the world with a single photograph. So I encourage you to pick up your camera and get out there and make some amazing photographs. And even if the only world you change is your own, you'll see the power and amazing things that can happen from being able to take a photograph. Have a great week. I will see you next week. Don't forget, you can always find us up on iTunes or on the Google Play Store or any place podcasts are found. And also, if you're really interested in alternative processing and historical processing, my class will be up on Creative Live in their catalog. So if you just search for my name up at the Creative Live site, you can watch my class or pick up the class on alternative processing. We're doing cyanotypes, Van Dykes, platinum printing. It's going to be a lot of fun. So go ahead and check that out. And I'll see you next time.